Blog Talk Radio.
How's everybody doing out here in Radio Land tonight? How you brothers doing? This is Leon Gatewood with the Brothers for Real Radio Show. I'll be your host for tonight. I'd like to thank the Marketing Pulpit International for hosting us. These guys are doing some great big things all over the world, you might say. I was listening to the Neely Fuller Jr. show yesterday, or Tuesday. It was yesterday. Hosted by the Marketing Pulpit International. Amazing brother, Mr. Dr. Fuller. I'm going to call him Dr. Dr. Fuller, an amazing brother. He talks about some things just straight off the cuff. He does not cut any corners whatsoever.
Mr. Fuller does not play.
We need to get everybody piped in to listen to the Neely Fuller show.
Let me just do a plug. That's the Produce Justice show. It's on, that's the website, as a matter of fact. It's producejustice.com. Mr. Fuller wrote a book called The Counter-Racist Code. He talks about, his famous quote is, if you don't understand racism and white supremacy, then everything that you thought you understood will only confuse you. And so he's a very deep guy. He's 90 years old. And he's been out here, man, enlightening people. He has almost a cult following. So many people follow him so religiously. But anyway, that's Produce Justice. We produce his show every Tuesday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 p.m. on Blog Talk. And you can just go to his website, producejustice.com, if you want to plug in. And while I'm on the air, just...
Time you say, Robert.
9 o'clock every morning. 9 o'clock on Tuesday.
What time? 11.
11
a.m. You said p.m. I'm going to long show.
9 a.m. to 11 p.m. Just go to producejustice.com.
A.m.
A.m. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. 9 o'clock a.m. on Tuesdays. Amazing, amazing. The depth and the how he just comes straight at you. It's amazing. Like I said, brothers and sisters, blessings. Tune in to the Brothers for Real Radio Show tonight. We're going to be discussing unity in the community, and we're struggling with that word in our community. Might as well be straight up about it. This is the Brothers for Real, and you're gonna get some real discussion tonight. You're gonna get real discussion every night. But like I say, this is Brothers for Real. We got tonight on this show so far, we have Robert Gatewood. He's the host. He's the Marketing Pulpit International brother. Then we have Joseph Gatewood. He's with Gatewood Financial in Charlotte, financial and real estate, insurance and real estate. And of course, you have Leon on the phone on the show tonight as well. We are started the HALA organization in 2005 to address low achievement. And I tell you something, guys, something exciting happened to me Sunday. I was at the Melanated Festival, sponsored by some sisters and brothers up in Union County and Anson County, of course. Melanated Festival, I think this was their second festival. They're trying to bring brothers and sisters together, share information, and share the spirit of unity. And they gave me an award, man. I tell you, they gave the HALA organization an award. And I was so excited about that. But more exciting than that was the fact that I got to see what a united, thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Better late than never.
I got to see what a united village could look like. You could say they had assimilated village in the building up there at the Shriners Club, I think it was up there in Union County, Monroe. They had entertainment. They had vendors, black vendors, sharing information. We had people sharing information. We had children dancing, people singing, spoken word, just a beautiful event. And I walked away wondering what it would take for us to spread that type of atmosphere throughout the community. I mean, that was a microcosm. But what can we do as a group of people to really start showing the love and respect and dedication to each other that's required for us to progress as a people?
You know what I think, Leon?
What can we do? Yeah, man.
You know what I think, Leon? I sometimes think we overthink this thing. I look at the homogeny in other communities, and I hate to get into the comparison game, but you might as well keep it real since we are the brothers for real. People in the Jewish community, they would drive 50 miles if they had to support their brothers. I watch people in the Hispanic community. It's like they don't even think about it. They don't sit there and start comparing how many pennies they're going to save, or I got to give some type of superhuman service to earn their patronage. They just do it because they understand the importance to have that economic viability in their community. It's really a matter of survival. And when you add that element to it, we shouldn't have to jump through all of these litmus tests to earn the support and patronage of the people in our community. It's not a race thing. It's not a community thing, really. It's a survival thing. This community depends on us supporting each other. That is why there are so many challenges in our community. And I understand the thing about slavery and the thing that did the horrible things to our mentality. But we just got to shake this off, folks. Just don't put it on a test tube. Don't run it up a flagpole to see if anybody salutes. Don't throw it on the wall to see if it sticks. Just support your community, period. That's it. There is no other way to say it. Anyway.
Yeah. I like the way you said that, Robert. I mean, that was pretty clear. Excuse me. You came pretty clear with that. And like I say, it's just, like I say, I'm gonna revert back to the event on Sunday. And I was sitting there actually looking around watching and dreaming about our community as a whole living that experience. And then I woke up, you know. Then I woke up and realized how far we really are from that. But we can do this. Like Robert just said, let's just do it. I mean, support each other. I mean, find a way to love each other. I mean, we're really hard on each other. We'll say, well, somebody can say something to you and you hold it in, hold it against them for the rest of your lives, and you find ways, but we can find ways to forgive other people that do us bad. Man, it hurts me, to be honest with you. I just, going through this, it just kind of, it hurts me. But we can do better. Just let me put it that way. We can do better. Hey, Joseph Gatewood, welcome to the show, man. How you doing tonight, brother?
Good.
I'm doing
hey,
good.
Yourself.
Yeah.
Hey, Leon. Hey, Leon, before you get started, Joseph, we have Christina on the phone. She wants to join the conversation. She has a comment. Welcome to the show, Christina.
Hey, Christina. Christina, welcome to the Brother Saria Radio Show. How are you tonight?
Good.
Where are you from?
Monroe, North Carolina.
Monroe, North Carolina. Wow, that's up there sunny. I'll tell everybody what a great time I had at the Melanated Festival over on, at the Shriners Club. Were you there?
Yes.
Okay, great, great. Okay, what's your comment? What would you like to say tonight? Thanks for calling in.
Christina is a person of few words.
Christina.
Hello.
Hey, Christina.
Hello? Hey.
You see her with us?
Yeah, Christina, you're on there. All right, table Christina. Hang on, we're going to get back to you. Joseph, what's going on in Charlotte?
Oh, man, Charlotte has got too much going on, really. I wish it would slow down. I mean, the gentrification in Charlotte is really destroying our community, our city, everything, and our politicians are not doing anything about it. Seems like to me, more than anything, they're embracing it. And people that are already marginalized are becoming even more so, and our politicians seem to be buying into it. Yeah, it's a money thing. And of course, and what I think a lot of politicians don't realize, and business people, they don't realize that you don't, just because you don't have to give up profit in order to treat people fair and with dignity. And
well,
I think in the long run, companies that learn that and government establishments that learn how to do that, they'll be more successful and they'll be more productive. And there'll be a better service to the community. But that's what I see the direction of Charlotte going in right now. And it's pretty sad. And that's why I'm thinking about running for city council the next time it come up. Not this round, but the next time.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Dude.
Get him, Jody.
Are you serious?
Even if I don't win, I'm going to at least get the – get my opinion out there, you know, that what I see. Because, you know, I have people call my office every day, you know, with some issue that they're having, that they shouldn't be having these issues because they should have a government that protects them from such issues. And and the definition of government, the primary definition of government and the objective of government is to protect the weak from the powerful. And if you don't have a government doing that, it doesn't matter whether it's the national government, the state government, the local government, or whatever. If it's not protecting the weak from the powerful, it's not an effective government.
Amen.
But having said that, Charlotte, of course, is growing, and maybe it's growing out of control. I don't know. But every day you look around, there's a new apartment complex going up. And, of course, the reason there's so many apartment complexes going up because, well, if you're not making a certain amount of money in Charlotte, and of course, a lot of people are not, you just can't afford to buy a house anymore. I mean, you make,
can
you, build
a,
you know,
can you afford to live in an apartment, though? My God.
Well, right here again, that's just as bad. But, of course, you know all the hoops they put you through to the battle house, and of course, and it's getting even worse, and of course, and they bringing all these people from up north down here, and of course, you know, you tell them your rent gonna be $1,500 a month for a one bedroom apartment, they feel like they hit the lottery. But you know, right. But you got a person here making $12 an hour, and he's trying to look for an apartment for $1,500, and it's having $1,500. Well, he's completely out of it.
Right. So,
I think we need to get something in place to address these type of issues that's going on not only in Charlotte but around the country. You know,
let me say this right. Yeah, go ahead, Joe. But let me say this right quick. Speaking of high rent and stuff in Charlotte, hey, Robert, get your hand clap ready, man. I'm ready to say something that's gonna deserve a clap.
I'm ready, boy.
Anyway, but
got my hands.
But speaking of high rent in Charlotte, and I'm gonna get to the hand clap thing in a minute. The last time I was in Charlotte for the CIAA tournament, which is going on right now, ladies and gentlemen, the last year for the next 3 years, anyway, because it's moving to Baltimore or somewhere up there. But anyway, Livingstone beat Bowie State today. The Livingstone boys beat Bowie State today. Tomorrow we'll play. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Tomorrow they play Winston-Salem State about 1 o'clock, I think it is, Winston-Salem State University. But anyway, what I was going to say was the last time I was up there, Joe, I fooled around and parked, and it cost me $25 to park my van. And I fooled around and had to leave. And had to come back. And I could have sworn the people weren't going to do me like that again. They told me I had to pay $25 more about an hour later when I had to come back. I just didn't park. I just kept riding. I rode the rest of the tournament. It's a shame and a scandal.
Yeah, and one of my clients came into the office today. And, you know, he's a very conscious young man. Of course, he came up with a thought that he said he and a friend of one of his friends, they were talking about the gentrification issue in Charlotte. He said, did you notice that all of this gentrification started in Charlotte during the 10 years that the CIAA was in Charlotte? Because the CIAA was bringing $50 million to Charlotte during that 1 week that they were up here. $50 million. Of course, and you know, some businesses downtown, they were just, you know, that was their profit for the year doing CIAA. And of course, black people bringing all that money in the city, and most of the time the CIAA left broke. And people don't even come to the game. But the point is, a lot of times we're responsible for our own demise. We find this out.
Get him.
What do you say?
I was saying get them. You're right. We so busy pointing fingers at what other folks are doing that we're not looking at those four fingers pointing back at us. And
that's right.
Of course, we have to fight a lot of things. I get that. We do what we are fighting, and we're kind of behind the eight ball from day one. But we have to do what we can control. There's something we can control.
That's
control the controllables.
That's right.
Right. Well,
yeah.
Let's talk about how if we could become unified on just a for instance. We're going to talk about the CIAA tournament since Joseph brought it up. Joseph, I'm going to ask you. You're right. The CIAA tournament is losing money, even though the community, the black community, is pumping $20 to $50 million every time the CIAA tournament comes to Charlotte that year and during that weekend. They're pumping in about $20 to $50 million every time the tournament comes to town, but the tournament leaves broke.
That's right.
You know who's making the money?
That's right.
Who's
making
the money,
Joseph? They come down here every year, just like I mean, of course, in price gouging don't mean nothing. You know, hotel room that was $100 during the regular year, $250, $280 a night, all that kind of foolishness. And just like you were talking about parking. Now, several years ago, one of the companies that I represent, they had a suite up in the Time Warner Arena. And of course, and you know, it was an incentive, you know, for representatives. And that night they were playing the Lakers. Okay, so you know, Lakers come into town, and back then, of course, Kobe was on the team. And of course, a lot of people wanted to see Kobe, including myself. God mm-hmm. bless his soul. But that night I came to that game, the parking was $5 right across the street from Time Warner Arena. I came back the next week, the same parking lot across the street from Time Warner Arena, because I'm saying I'm going to go over here and park because it wasn't $5 when I came down here to the Lakers game. Same parking lot across the street, $25. So my saying is, if they can charge $5 for a Lakers game, Charlotte Hornets and the Lakers, why you got to go up to $25 when the CIAA comes to town? And seeing the thing with me, just like I tell people in the insurance business, you know, like, for example, I always tell people, I say, if an insurance company is charging an extortionate amount of premium to get your business, that's what they're trying to tell you if they don't want you. But if you palm anyway, this is what you're going to have to pay. But they are really telling you they don't want your business. But if you must, this is what you're going to pay. And that's why, you know, a lot of people they're upset because the CIAA leaving. I'm glad. I'm glad because I'm tired of seeing the city of Charlotte make a fool out of black folks.
Right.
You're breaking my heart, man. You're breaking my heart. Say something to make me feel good.
Well, the thing that makes you feel good, you know, is when you do come, make sure you at least go to the game.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of people come and don't even go to the game. At least go to the game, that way maybe they get a little something out of that. You know, right. Somebody called me today, you asked me about tickets. I said, well, the only thing you got to do is go right up to the door and buy you a ticket. I said, because they never sell out.
Never sell out. No.
Never.
That's not going to happen.
Huh?
I said, no, that's not going to happen. They're not going to sell
never.
Out. Hey, Joe.
Yeah.
We're never going to sell out. Joe, we got Curtis Gatewood on the line, man. What about that? Curtis E. Gatewood, how you doing tonight, brother?
Hey, brothers. How you guys doing?
I'm good, man.
What's up?
Look, Rev. Curtis, I'm
hey,
going to go ahead and bring you
great,
into the...
Man. Good listening to Joseph there. Sorry I got on a little late. We are doing a lot of things over here. But I just want to say hello to the people, Leon. Hello. Thank you, guys. Thank you, brothers. Thank you for your love, your support. You know, I'm gonna talk about something that I had not really talked about on the show. You know, there's some people showing a lot of love out here. There's a group out here that call themselves Save Due Process. They have a website, SDP2020.com. SDP2020.com. If you're listening, write it down, visit it, and you'll see these beautiful people put together a website calling on the National NAACP to restore my membership to the NAACP. And they're also calling on the NAACP to not hold people back voting on allegations. They are saying go through with the election that, you know, I was, of course, many of you may not know, I'm a candidate, I was a candidate for state president of the North Carolina NAACP. But at the 11th hour, people came up with some serious allegations that a staff person, their lies, false allegations, totally false, that were brought up 2 years ago. And we never could get anything as far as finalized. I never saw any official report finalized or anything. But they put it all over the media the 11th hour before the election. In other words, on September 18 and September 25th, two different groups of my political rival for the NAACP, the incumbent president, they
You must have got a hold to your phone, Reb. You still there?
Yes, sir. I'm still getting in my face about. Hello? Everything all right?
Hello?
Yeah, man. We hear you.
Yes. So, people went up on the media stage, world media, never talked to me. Everybody on the stage never talked to me, never called me, went right out in the media and put out these allegations and lies about some things that happened, someone allegedly claimed happened at the workplace. Now, we know about personnel and confidentiality and all that. Well, my work profile, the so-called things they put out in the media, I had never seen as a part of my file. But they put it out there. Ugly. I mean, every kind of violation that you can violate against another human being, it was done. Defamation of character, slander, violation of privacy, laws as it pertains to personnel. If someone does an internal investigation in an organization, the staff person or the employee has the right to see the final so-called investigative report. None of that happened. And that person also has the right to look at that report. And if that person has anything they want to say about a personnel report, they should have their own statement where they can disagree or agree with anything that's going in your personnel file. And it should be put in writing. And anytime anybody refers to anything in your personnel file, your statement should be right there with it. If you disagree with whatever the employer said about you, and if you want to have a grievance against what was said about you, you should also have that right. If you want to have somebody that represents you or stand with you, that looks after your best interest when you go into a situation where an employer has said something against you that you do not agree with, you have every right to challenge whatever's being said or done or put in your personnel file. Well, in my case, someone had put something in my file and put it all over the media that I'd never seen before. So we're having to go through these ugly, ugly things right now. And I just wanted to say there are some great people out here on the ground who are trying to do what's right and make sure that we not just allow people to make allegations against people and there is no due process. Our philosophy is we can protect the rights of our struggling women without eliminating the rights of our struggling men.
Wow.
That's right.
Well, that's deep, brother. Well, brother Curtis. Curtis, right quick. Your conversation is on point with our discussion tonight. We're trying to discuss unity in the community, and of course,
yes,
unfortunately, the organization you're talking about that did this to you is supposed to be the organization that makes sure our community is in unison.
Absolutely.
And of course, protected.
Civil rights organization.
They used to say the baddest and the boldest, but anyway, we won't get in there. We're gonna get you to. We have some people on the line that want to get into the discussion. But right now, I want to ask you, what is, in your opinion, can we do to? I mean, how can we pull us together, man? What can we do?
Well, I think. Well, first of all, I think we need to be honest. You know, Michael Jackson put out the song "I'm Starting with the Man in the Mirror," and I think we need to be honest about where we are as civil rights leaders, preachers, pastors, all the people who were supposedly, according to scripture, according to the U.S. Constitution, and all those things that we believe to be in the best interest of the poor or those who are oppressed, we need to look at ourselves and see if we're really representing the people. Those of us who step out to be leaders, like I said, whether you're a politician, a candidate, whether you're a community servant, and whatever position you may have where it might impact some of the masses, or there might be a constituency, or it might be an organization, people need to actually come together, and we need to have a meeting about the best interests of our communities. And we cannot any longer assume that a black person has our best interest because that person is a leader of a civil rights organization. We need to make sure that the people who are presenting themselves to be leaders be held accountable regardless of who they are, what color they are, what their party association or affiliation may be, their nationality, whatever. Everyone has to be held to account. And those of us who are doing nothing, you can't just look at the so-called leader and throw rocks. Those of us who are not doing anything, we need to now emerge because God may be calling you to be the leader. God is calling us to be the change that we are waiting on. So I think everyone has a right or some type of responsibility that we are not really taking advantage of. We need to stand now like never before. There's an escalation of white supremacy. There's an escalation of white nationalism. You got Trump in the White House. He has on record now at least 16,000 lies. And you know what the scripture says about lies. So we are really in a tough situation, Leon. And I think organizations like the NAACP and all these other organizations, and even in our churches, sometimes we just get someone who has charisma. Lot of times, unfortunately, people use that charisma as con artistry. And a lot of times they sound good. They sound pretty. But guess what? Jim Jones had charisma. Guess what? Jim Jones was an activist. He was a civil rights leader. Jim Jones had connections in the community, and people were afraid to call him out because he had those connections. And he loaded up the planes and went over into an island and killed nearly 1,000 poor black people, mainly women and children. So it's time for us to start standing up and not falling for this con artistry.
You get me, man. You get me. Brothers, ladies and gentlemen, you listen to the Brothers for Real Radio Show, just hearing the best of Curtis E. Gatewood. We're going to take a quick break. We got some people on the line. We got some more people on the line. Curtis, that's powerful stuff. The Brothers for Real Radio Show, we're here every Wednesday talking about this good stuff. So, man, y'all come back next Wednesday. But we're not going away right now. We're going to take a quick break. Brothers for Real Radio Show, the number to call in is 215-383-3872. We have the Melanated Festival crew on the line. We're going to talk to them when we get back. Hang in there. We'll be right back. Brother for Real Radio Show tonight. We're discussing unity in the community. The number to call is 215-383-3872. Yes, sir.
Leon, well,
yes.
Unity in the community. I just like to remind people what Dr. Martin Luther King said in his last speech. We need to recommend it on the behalf of sanitation workers. And why I'm talking about Dr. Martin Luther King, a lot of people don't really know how hard Dr. Martin Luther King was seeking for economic justice, black people, and black businesses. That's part of Dr. Martin Luther King's message that people miss. But Dr. Martin Luther King said in his last speech, he talked about all the perils that we are up against, all the discrimination and racism and poverty, disenfranchisement. Mm-hmm. But final speech, what he said was, we got to stick together. And he also said, individually, we are poor, but collectively, we are rich. Collectively, we will be the ninth wealthiest nation in the world, collectively. And he was talking about we need to find a way to pool this resource, this wealth that's in the black community, not individually, but collectively, how we can pool this economic power back into our communities to make us stronger. But the bottom line is what he said, we got to stick together.
Lord, that's right, Joseph. And I'm going to go ahead and bring in the – you're exactly right. And the reason I'm going to bring in the next – one of the callers, April Ratliff. I was up in Monroe Sunday. They were the host of the Melanated Festival. And that subject came up. I mean, with us being the biggest spenders, why are we the ones that's always broke? But anyway – They gave a very good example of they gave a, like I said, the microcosm of a community. The Melanated Festival is a microcosm of a community. They had black vendors, they had happiness, singing, dancing, celebrations, sharing of information, and things of that nature. And that's where we need to go. Like you're saying,
right,
as Dr. King said, we have to stick together. I mean, it's not racist. It's not racist for black folks to stick together. Everybody does it but us. So I'm just saying, you know, a lot of us get caught up on it. We need to share ourselves around. No, we don't. Nobody else does it but us.
Leon.
I mean, we're the ones. Let me get April in here, man, right quick. April, how are you doing tonight? April. I know April's out there.
I'm
sorry, April. We had you muted. I'm sorry. How you doing tonight, April? Come in the house. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How y'all doing?
Let me just congratulate you again on the festival Sunday. Thank you guys for doing that. That's an example of what we need to do as an entire community. And so kind of just talk to us a little bit about it. I see you have a comment. You want to make a comment about the CIAA, but also we would be remiss if we didn't get you to tell us a little bit about the Melanated Festival and what made you guys get that started. Okay.
Okay. Yep. Piggybacking on what you said about the CIAA, I came into the conversation late, but it is a big money exploitation scheme in my eyes as well. And it seems like they do it strategically when they know the government releases people's tax money. So they know we more out to spend money that we really didn't work for, you know, in their eyes. So there's so many things that we could put our money towards, you know, to build up the community, to build up ourselves, and going on into the Melanated Festival. We are a group of people that barely know each other. We share posts on Facebook. We have some mutual friends. But Kevin Natasha, who is the visionary, she posed the question, how is it that we can plan a funeral in a week, but we can't plan anything else? You know, we don't conjugate to celebrate each other. It's only in sorrow or hard times. So first one, which was last year, 2019, we planned like virtually online in about 2 weeks, and it was a success. We celebrated each other. Like you said, we had black vendors. We had black art displayed, dancing. We had a soloist to sing the Black National Anthem. We just celebrated us. And so to get back on track, of doing what we've always done. If you hear recently, killing each other, we have to see each other as human. We have to recognize the commonalities. Yes, we're going to have political differences. Yes, we're going to have different religious views or spirituality, which is fine. But if we get down to the commonalities, we are suffering at the hands of something, you know, whether it's chemical warfare, whether it's them attacking our food, whether it's them attacking our mind, you know, we're all faced with the same obstacles. So if we keep that in mind, we can move forward together. We have to see each other as human and recognize that we have way more in common than we do, you know, different.
Amen.
Absolutely. I understand our visionary, Tammy, is on the line tonight. So, Tammy, how are you tonight?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Thank you so much for having us on tonight, Leon.
Absolutely.
I wanted to piggyback off of the gentleman. Oh, I received that. Thank you. Piggyback off the gentleman before the last one. He was talking about the leaders need to be accountable. I believe that we're in a time, space, and age where it is beyond a leader, political, spiritual, / biblical, into politician in today's time. I believe individually we have to be accountable. In our homes,
right,
we have to be accountable, because going out into the community, whether it be church and so forth and so on, divided, is what is not doing us any good. It's easy to look like unity in the church setting where a husband and wife is bickering on the way or at home or on the way back from home, where the kids are so disconnected, but they can look, give the appearance of structure and discipline in that setting. Generally, I tell people in the church house, there is no confrontation that is allowed publicly. I'm not saying all people get along, but people know how to conduct themselves at church, but again, at home. So if we're going to be different in two different settings, then that's a little insane. That's a split personality. I believe individually, if I begin to organize my finances, if I begin to walk in discipline, if I begin to build myself, ultimately I will impact and affect my family. Generally, I will affect my community, and the church can benefit from that when we think collective. I think about during Kwanzaa time, which a lot of us lack heritage and culture. We've adapted to Western civilization. They talked about cooperative economics. It's hard for us to put money together except for in the church. So I want to tell you, I believe that I've been charged to hold elders accountable. Elders meaning your pastors, meaning your evangelists, your apostles, your bishops, your prophets, teachers, those people, because whether they know it or not, they're taking on the charge for the church, but the church is the community. And generally, they're not accountable unto anyone. The same way we would hold politicians responsible and accountable, church leaders should be also. But I'm not putting the full responsibility on them. I believe because they have such an impact and influence, they need to be telling us you have to do the work yourself for us to see the big picture, for it to impact us as a whole. I don't know why it's so hard for us to come together, open up businesses. We talk about Black Wall Street. There's no trust anymore, but we would give a preacher house, the church house, collective money, but nowhere else can we give a record of where the Black community will put funds together. But yet it doesn't build up the community. You cannot have 10 churches on one street and the community is still jacked up, but there's folks that look better and drive better, but the community, there's no playground. I'm not talking about a community center. There's no playground in the area. That they're not hosting anything weekly that builds us up and encourages us. And this is not blame. This is responsibility, and there is a difference. There's no way that there's a tax-free organization receive billions of dollars annually in general, but the community remains the same. That, to me, says that individually, those people are not built up. It just looks like it collectively. So the Melanated Festival, to me, is to remind each individual that you are responsible for yourself. You can't wait on anybody. It's time to quit waiting on the sweet by and by. because there is such certain injustices such as police brutality and such. You've got to do the work yourself. You've got to quit spending on these pagan holidays. Christmas is nice and all of that, but guess what? You don't have the money anyway. Why is it so hard for us to give that up when you don't have the money anyway? We talk about local and small black businesses raising prices, dipping your bad customer service and XYZ. McDonald's ice cream machine is always down, but you'll go back next week to find out if it is up and working and I still order the ice cream. So we have to have the same standards and patience.
Tammy
Natasha. Yes. Yes, I'm sorry.
You need to be up. No. You need a. We need to give you a platform where you can speak more often. That's all I have to get ready to say. You just. You just.
I'm listening, Leah. I'm listening.
I know. She's putting it out here just like we like it. You put it out here like we like it. Tammy Natasha. Yeah, I can see Robert.
She just became one of the spokespeople for Justice Administration. Yep, she need to be there.
Yeah.
We need to start building that up. She's great.
Yeah, we gotta give Tammy a mic. Gotta give Tammy a mic.
We gotta change our minds. We just gotta change. I mean, when I think about the Bible, because we always go, black people always go there. We forgot that even that we say we living in the New Testament age. Actually, we're not. The New Testament was over 400 years ago. We're living in actually the prophetic age. So what I'm saying ultimately is it's been time to renew our mind. We think, and I was trying to say, first, it's past the clubbing and the shacking and the cheating. Those are the outward signs. It's time to renew the mind, because if your mind is changed, actions will change. But we're trying to change actions without changing the mind, and it's not going to work. And I try to tell the church that it's but guess what? The church, because it has turned into a business, okay, it's no different than the doctor. I make you feel all right, but I make sure you don't get whole and healed. I make sure you're not truly free. True, you might stop clubbing for a couple of years, but you're still not free. Because mentally you're still enslaved. How can you say that, Tammy? Because we're still in debt individually and as a whole in appearance-wise, okay? We don't realize the billions that we spend during Christmas time alone. We're not talking about the whole year.
You know she's talking to the right people now.
You're putting it out there, Tammy.
You know she
Levanna got to
say
over there.
Huh?
Hey, Levanna. Big League, how you doing, man?
I'm good, Mr.
Well,
Big League. How's everything going?
Good, brother. How you doing, man?
Hey, Lee Band, all right.
It's an honor to be on the show tonight.
My man.
Let me tell
y'all
who
I don't
you
really know,
man. Hold up, Lee. Let me tell you people who you are, man. You know, this is Charles and Lee Banner and people live right down the street from us, man. This is you the baby boy, man.
Oh, you got Lee though. You the OG, man. Levanna was the OG.
No, not Levanna. No, this is Levanna's son. That's right.
This Levanna's son?
Yes, sir.
What?
Yes, sir.
No. Man, get out of here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
This Levanna's son,
great to have you on,
man.
Brother Levanna, it's great to have you, man.
What's on your mind there, Levanna?
I'm Levanna the second.
That's right. I'm Levanna the second. How you doing tonight, brother? Good seeing you. Good hearing your wisdom on Sunday, sir. And always good to hear from you, man. We appreciate you being on the line tonight. We have some powerful. Robert, get your hand clap out, man. We have some powerful young people on the line tonight. I say young. I call you young. Anybody younger than me, I call you young. You some powerful young people on the line tonight, Robert. And they are being heard, man.
Let me say from Washington, D.C., I hear you all up here, and people are listening to you all over the world because the marketing pulpit is international. I'm enjoying this, and let's just keep it coming, folks. Just keep it coming. This is good stuff. It's good stuff.
Hey, man. Come on, Lee.
Absolutely.
Is he all right?
Come on, Lee. Come on. We're ready for you now, man.
Well, okay. Honestly, I don't know what else can be really said after Paper and Tammy is dropping. You know, the ladies is always on fire. As far as the Middle City Festival, I was just honored to be a part of it. That was their vision. I was just you know, privileged to just to be taking part of it for 2 years in a row. And has, like it always has been said, it showed what happens when people come in with a sole mission to bring healing and resolve to the issues that's in our community. But I think one of the things that we need to really be mindful of is that we can have a lot of conversation and we can point out the fruit of the issue, but I think ultimately we have to really get to the root of the issue. And I think that's what Sister Tammy was talking about, the fact that we talk about, you know, the problems, but we're never really bringing full resolve to it. And we can, we can keep, you know, treating the issues and, you know, and making people feel better in their situation, but there's really no transformation. And I just think that with everyone coming together and adding in their collective gifts and talents and insight and intelligence and know-hows, and like you was pointing out, Mr. Gate, we're talking about making the elders of the community the central discipline and standard that we look to. I think when we bring all these things to the collective and say, listen, this is what we need to do going forward, we can get it done, but it has to start more with having conversations. The more we start putting these things into action, the more the Most High is going to get behind it. And we just have to realize that there's a whole lot more power inside of us than we really realize. Like they said, they was going into talking about that we can plan a funeral and all these things, but we can't plan a celebration. Last year when that thing hit those women, they hit the ground running, and it was up. The way it went down last year, you would have thought they planned it a year ahead of time. You see what I'm saying? And so because of the desire to see change, I think the Most High got behind it. But if we can do this in one day, what can we do if we dedicate each one day a week to saying, okay, let's get something moving? What happens one day turns into 2 days?
You know what, Levan, I'm listening to you. And as I was listening to you, I was thinking about what Tammy was saying. And then I know Curtis, he has been on this anti-pagan holiday, spending all your money, going into debt. I even wrote a book called Played in Full that addresses that same issue. So I think if we take these thought leaders and start harnessing energy in these thoughts, can make a difference. We have the platform, we have the knowledge, and I think people are just out there crying out, the community is crying out for somebody to say, help us from this vice that has us, that we can't control our spending. We have the mouthpiece, we have the thought, we have the leaders, we have the energy. I say let's do this. We can do this, and we can start it right here on this Marketing Pulpit radio show and get behind Tammy, get behind Curtis, get behind Levana, get behind April, and anybody else who want to jump on this train.
Amen, baby. Amen.
Amen.
You're exactly right, sir. You're exactly right.
Yeah.
There's enough money to pull out of the things of the world.
Call,
if we do those things.
Curtis Gatewood, it's good to hear you, man. And hopefully one of the times I'm down there, we can get together. And anyone else call tonight, hopefully we can start, you know, actually seeing, coming face to face.
All right. Curtis, Leon, Rock, y'all
yes,
listening
sir.
To me.
We got
you. And, you know, what Curtis was talking about earlier, how a certain group that's led by Reverend William Barber has really been out trying to destroy him. And like Curtis is a person that got up there when this woman accused Curtis, Reverend William Barber got up there and said, I know she is telling the truth. Now, the first thing come to my mind is, how do you know she's telling the truth? But the reason I'm saying that, somebody like Reverend Barber, he has a lot of connections, and I found that out recently. You know, he got people in relation with the Associated Press. Obviously, he got somebody hooked up with Time Magazine. He got somebody, you know, with all the various news outlets that he has access to. But the problem is, imagine now if he took that same energy and those same connections that he has to promote black people in our community and stop trying to promote himself, how great of an asset he could be to the community. And one of the things that served me most is this thing with this poor people's campaign. I said, now, just the issue we've been talking about, black people, we are always have the highest unemployment rate. Black people, we always have the highest incarceration rate. Black people, we always have the lowest net income. Black people, we always have more businesses to fail and fewer businesses in our community that's actually functioning. And all these factors lead to the perpetuation of poverty in our neighborhood, in our community. So my question is, why do you need to go outside of the framework of the NAACP that was founded for the advancement of black people to go look for poor people? And see, and those are the types of leaders that I'm talking about that we need to bring into question and talk to and talk about.
Yeah. Check this out, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to just say this right quick. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Brother For Real Radio Show. Joseph, you, that was the best of Joseph Gatewood right there. He's got it coming out straight and strong. Best of Lavanda Ingram II coming out straight and strong. Best of Tammy Natasha. Best of April. We got the best of Robert. We got the best of, it's just been a beautiful show tonight. We're not going to, we just have this about 5 minutes left to pull everything together. So I'm just going to say this right quick. We need to support each other.
Yeah.
When you see a melanated festival going on, you need to find a way to get there. You see a black business in your community, you need to find a way to support it. We just got to do that. It's simple. We're going to spend money now. It's already been proven. We can spend the money, and we will spend the money. That's the fact. That is a fact. I got a guy on the line that's holding. He said he just listened, but I know he want to say something. There's a guy on that line named James Hopp. There's a guy on the line listening named James Hopp. I know James Hopp has heard enough now that he really wants to do something besides listen. How you doing tonight, James? I called it right, didn't it, brother?
Well, you called him out, Leon. You got him. You called him out.
I knew that dude was over there. We had you muted, man. Let me unmute James Hopp and let him say something. How you doing tonight, brother?
I'm doing great, man. It's an honor to be on, and I really do admire everybody on this call tonight. I appreciate everybody on this call tonight. Y'all inspire me. Y'all uplift me to be better as a man, as a human being, as a father, as a black man in this society. And I'm preparing for my financial economic class that I got coming up in about 3 more minutes right now, because you know I do financial economics classes every Monday and Friday. I'm just preparing for that. But yeah, man, April, Tammy, they got on here and dropped some heavy stuff tonight, and I'm in absolute agreement with everything that they said. And yeah, man, like y'all said, we just gotta unite and we gotta come together. We gotta put self to the side, man, and we got to look at the bigger picture. We got to look at the bigger picture, man. I'm not going to talk about everything that I got going on, because y'all already done laid down everything that need to be laid down. So, man, like, I'm with it. Whatever we need to do, whatever money we need to put together, whatever we need to do, I'm with it, man. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Let's do it, man. Let's do it. I'm going to say this. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother Hopp. I knew you were over there boiling over. I knew you were over there boiling over. That's a good brother right there. He's a good young brother, powerful young brother. And like I say, the young people are coming together, man. The young people, they're speaking out. They're doing it, and I'm proud. I'm feeling good about it.
Let me just say two things, though, to kind of like when you're wrapping up, because two major points.
Somebody's trying to make it too much noise.
Yeah. Two major points they made tonight. I think we need to look at self, and Leon, you have an event coming up, Knowing Ourselves. You got an event coming up on Saturday starting at 7 o'clock at Hollis Center. You got the No Bookstore owner, Dr. Bruce Bridges, coming to give lectures on self. African knowledge, knowing yourself, so on and so forth. But I think we need to be inspired to do what we can, as we need to put both those leaders, such as W.E.B. Du Bois and I think it was Booker T. Booker T was saying, cast your buckets down where they are, know who you are, know what you can do, where you are. And then W.E.B. Du Bois, of course, was trying to go beyond the buckets where they are and be as much as you can be, as great as you can be. But I think we need to, as he talked about holding these churches accountable, we really need to find a way to do that. Because I think right now, all these churches are just looking for someone who has charisma. They don't care if they're murderers. They don't care if they care nothing about their communities. They don't care if they're not even saved. They ain't got to be saved. All they got to be a doctor, whatever, and can preach. As long as they can preach and got doctor before their name, they could be murderers, they could be cheaters, they could be liars. They don't even have to be saved. So we have to get people that are conscious in our communities that are looking out for the best interest of our community, whatever they may be doing.
Yeah. And I'm gonna close out by agreeing with Tammy Natasha on one thing she said, and that's one of the things I really believe in as well, is what you just said, Reverend. We can't wait on anybody else. We need to we need to approach this thing individually. You know, we can't wait on leaders. You know,
That's right.
Who does that? But us.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying. So we need to work collectively to build each other up individually. I mean, we need to be providing things to develop our children.
That's
we
right.
can't depend on the school system to do it. We have to. We know what our children need. Why are we going to sit up there and keep going to the school board and saying, y'all ain't doing this, y'all
That's
ain't
right.
doing that? Why are we going to keep doing that? Why we keep doing that? We do the same old stuff over and over.
Can't give people too much power. You give them too much power.
No, not over your kids, man. Not over your kids. You can't say, okay, our kids need to learn, need more arts. And all of us sitting out here free to do it. What kind of sense does that make? We're free. We're no longer in bondage. They won't have no more chains.
Not physically. That's right.
Yeah, so we have to take control and provide the things that our children need. We can't depend on somebody else to do it. They said, well, we paying our taxes. You going to pay your taxes.
That's right.
So don't blow your money and your children's lives, too. You're going to blow your money on the taxes. That's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's going to happen.
Amen. Yeah. I think we need to look
yeah,
and
the
see
boat,
where
our time has run out, guys. I got to cut it short. Ladies and gentlemen, God bless you. Come back next week. Let's keep Come back
Peace
next week. Come back the next time you can come back. Just come back and let's keep talking. And not only keep talking, but let's keep working. Let's keep doing the Melanated Festival. Let's keep doing all the other things that we're doing individually to develop our community. Let's keep doing
That's
it.
Right.
We got to keep doing it. God
Peace
bless
and
you
bless
guys. We out of here. Thank you, ladies and
Peace
gentlemen.
And
ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Brothers for Real Radio Show with Joseph, Robert, Curtis, Leon, and some very dynamic guests tonight. God bless you. We're out of here. See you next week.
appreciate it.